On this fourth day of the week, as it is called in Latin, Feria Quarta, is a feria. And of course, I'm sure there are a thousand saints that I'm not even aware of at this moment who are celebrated today, so we pray to them all to help us and assist us as we rush more and more towards the wonderful day, the golden night and the golden day on which the eternal Son of God is born of the ever-Virgin Mary. In the cave in Bethlehem. Now, of course, the readings are repeated from Sunday, and the one that, of course, stands out the most because it's repeated in the propers is from the Epistle of St. Paul, the Apostle, to the Philippians. And he repeats to them, Gaudete in Domino, iterum dico, gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. And that is very important because many things in this life may give us some transitory, very, very transitory pleasure. But the only one that can give us true joy is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the fact that we have this again on this fourth day, and especially, actually, it's the fifth day. It's Thursday, sorry. It's going faster than I can hold on to it. I feel like I'm holding on to the sleigh that Joseph and Mary are traveling on as they go to Bethlehem. Imaginarily, of course, they have no sleighs. And I'm just flying behind it. Oh, help, hold me back. Don't let me fall. And that's the way it is when these days, these wonderful, wonderful days approach. And then the sad thing about it is they come and they're gone. I was telling the boys in the sacristy, a week from today is the feast of our patron saint, St. Stephen. And what a wonderful feast it is for us. He is our patronal saint, and he is the first martyr of the church. So after all that our Lord goes through in the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph and all those other wonderful characters that are real characters in the Gospel, then what happens? We begin to suffer. All those who follow Christ must follow him totally, completely, to the cross. And I've always mentioned, you know, there is a very beautiful devotion in Spain, and I wish I had bought a statue of it, which are very much available there, not here, showing the baby Jesus with the cross. But a beautiful image, because that's what he came for. And that's why in his crib, if you notice, the cross is to be found, because that is the reason why he came. So St. Stephen, whom we shall celebrate in a week, is doing exactly what our Lord wanted him to do. And so he is the first martyr, the proto-martyr of the church. In the meantime, don't think for a moment that the Blessed Mother or St. Joseph or any of the others were having a good time. They were suffering. These journeys were very long, very difficult. There was a lot of question marks. Where shall we go? Where shall we stay? And of course, the main thing is that they had to trust in God, just as we do. We have to trust in God, and God will provide, and he did. And thus, there was this cave that was used as a manger for the cattle, the lowly cattle, and the sheep, and there was no room at the end. There was the Hilton and the Roosevelt were chock full. It didn't matter how much money they had, which they did have. They were not going to the cave because they were dreadfully poor or homeless. They went because it was the will of God. Many people make mythologies out of all this that have to do with modern man and has nothing to do with God or the gospel. And they went there because it was the will of God. And so there, at midnight, in the piercing cold, because it was cold. Oftentimes it snows in Bethlehem in the winter. It is not Hawaii as some people picture it in their ridiculous modern-day mythologies. It gets very, very cold. And there it was that the Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary. What a wonderful thing it is. That is why the Church allows us in the Novena, which we continue today, and in the prayers of the Mass, which we continue every day, to meditate on the great mysteries. The prophecies of the Old Testament are about to be fulfilled. And we are witnesses of it. And St. John the Baptist is asked about it by the Pharisees, because he comes later, 30 years later, and he begins to do the will of God. That's it, simply, the will of God. And he baptizes for the repentance of sin, not the forgiveness of sin. Different. We need to repent first, and then go to confession, and then be forgiven. And if we are not Catholics yet, we need to be baptized after we repent, not before. And so, St. John the Baptist is part of this great mystery. So he baptizes and he preaches. Him whom you await has come, is about to come to you. He stands in your midst, and you do not know him. It's no different today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the visibility of his one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, stands in our midst, and we do not know him. And many, many people who should know him, who are in the hierarchy and the clergy among the baptized Catholics, do not know him and do not recognize him. But we recognize him. He is the eternal Son of God, who has come to save us from our sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we continue.